ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 6 एंटाइटल्ड ब्रह्मा सैटिस्फाइज लॉर्ड शिवा टेक्स्ट नंबर 1 एंड 2। मैत्रेय उवाच अथ देवगणाः सर्वे रुद्राणीकै पराजिताः शूला पट्टीश निस्त्रींश गदा परिघा मुद्धरैः। नेक्स्ट वर्स, नेक्स्ट नंबर 2। संचिन्न भिन्न सर्वांगा सात्विका साभ्य भयाकुला सव्य भूवे नमस्कृत्या काष्णेनैतान् न्यवेदयन्। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन रिस्पॉन्सिबिली प्लीज। मैत्रेय उवाच। मैत्रेय सेड अथ आफ्टर दिस देवगणाः द डेमी गॉड्स सर्वे और रुद्र अनिकैः बाय द सोल्जियर्स ऑफ लॉर्ड शिवा पराजिताः हैविंग बीन डिफीटेड शूला ट्राइडेंट पट्टिशा ए शार्प एज्ड स्पीयर निस्त्रिंशा ए स्वॉर्ड गदा मेस परिघा एंड आयरन ब्लड्जियन मुद्गरैहि ए हैमर लाइक वेपन संजिन्न भिन्न सर्व अंगाः All the limbs wounded. Sarithik sabhyaha with all the priests and members of the sacrificial assembly. Bhaya akulaha with great fear. Swayambhuve unto Lord Brahma. Namaskritya. After offering obeisances, Kastyena, in detail, etat, the event of Daksha sacrifice, Nyavedayan, reported. Translation, all the priests and other members of the sacrificial assembly and all the demigods having been defeated by the soldiers of Lord Shiva, and injured by weapons like trident and swords, approached Lord Brahma with great fear. After offering him obeisances, they began to speak in detail of all the events which had taken place. Verse number 3, there is no purport to this. Upalabhya puraiva itad bhagavan abjasambhava narayanascha vimshatma na kasya dharam iyatuhu. Both Lord Brahma and Vishnu had already known that such events would occur in the sacrificial arena of Daksha, and knowing beforehand, they did not go to the sacrifice. Purport by His Eminent Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:26, Vedaham Samatitani Vartamanani Charjuna. The Lord says, I know everything that has happened in the past and is going to happen in the future. Lord Vishnu is omniscient and he therefore knew what would happen at Daksha's sacrificial arena. For this reason, neither Narayan nor Lord Brahma attended the great sacrifice performed by Daksha. Verse number 4. Tat akarnya vibhupraha तेजीयसि कृदागसि क्षेमाय तत्र स भूयान् न परेण बुभूषताम्। When Lord Brahma heard everything from the demigods and the members who had attended the sacrifice, he replied, You cannot be happy in executing a sacrifice if you blaspheme a great personality and thereby offend his lotus feet. You cannot have happiness in that way. Purport. Lord Brahma explained to the demigods that although Daksha wanted to enjoy the results of fruitive sacrificial activities, it is not possible to enjoy when one offends a great personality like Lord Shiva. It was good for Daksha to have died in the fight because if he had lived, he would have committed such offenses at the lotus feet of great personalities again and again. According to Manu's laws, when a person commits murder, punishment is beneficial for him because if he is not killed, he might commit more and more murders and therefore be entangled in his fruitive lives for having killed so many persons. Therefore, the king's punishment of a murderer is appropriate. If those who are extremely offensive are killed by the grace of the Lord, that is good for them. In other words, Lord Brahma explained to the demigods that it was good for Daksha to have been killed. Om Agyanati Vedantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Here the first interesting point is that both Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu knew about the consequence of the sacrifice and what is going to happen in the sacrifice beforehand. Because Brahma and to that matter Lord Shiva and Vishnu are Trikalajna. They know past, present and future. So having known this, they knew what's going to happen and they didn't want to partake in such a sacrifice. So Brahma didn't go for this particular sacrifice, nor did Lord Vishnu. So it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha Arjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani namam tu veda na kaschana. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I know past, I know present and I know future, but no one knows me in its completeness. So this is the Supreme Lord. He knows past, present and future. Then often one question is asked, if the Lord knows past, present and future, then do we have free will? Yes, the Lord knows what's going to happen. Especially in this past time, Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu knew that Sati is going to take her life and the whole curses and counter curses happened before, and now all the killings were going to happen right in front of everyone. Then where is the question of free will? Right? Even in our life, if Krishna knows what we are going to do, then do we really have any free will? Because our philosophy is based on free will and we are held accountable for our activities because we have free will. So the same question can be posed. So the answer is, we can address this issue in different ways. One, the material time is an aspect of Maya, of the Bahiranga Shakti. It is aspect of Maya. So as it is mentioned, you know, Maya Javanika Channa, there is a curtain of Maya. For living entities, we cannot perceive the Lord because there is a curtain of Maya. Whereas for the Supreme Lord, there is no curtain of Maya. Means the time factor is not an obstruction for him to see the future. So that is one way of looking at it. So time factor or Maya is not an obstruction for the Lord to see the future because time is an aspect of Krishna, it's an energy of Krishna, or the super soul manifests in the material creation in the form of the material time. So in that way, he knows the future. So what we are going to do, he can see. He's not interfering in our free will, but he can see. Similarly, another way of looking at the same point is that Krishna doesn't interfere with our choice, but he knows what we are going to choose. Simple, another way of saying the same thing. He knows what we are going to choose. He's not going to interfere, but he knows what we are going to choose. Is there anything wrong in it? No, he's not interfering. Now we may wonder, why is it so? The reason is, or how is it possible? Say, for example, Prabhupada gives an example. If somebody is sitting on a branch of a tree and he's cutting the root of the branch. So he's sitting on the branch and he's cutting root of the branch. Somebody is walking past, is telling that if you cut further, you're going to fall down. So he's keep cutting. Then it is very obvious that he's going to fall down. So this, to our intelligence, it is very simple, right? It's very obvious. We can see if you do act like this, this is going to be the consequence. In the same way, from the point of view of the infinite intelligence of the Supreme Lord, our activities, the way we behave, it is predictable. He can directly see that. With his intelligence, he can see this is going to happen. So there are different ways we can see that the Lord, he knows the future, at the same time he doesn't interfere in our free will. So free will is there. Since we have the free will, we are accountable for our activities, and at the same time, even though we say we have the free will is dependent on our consciousness. It's not that we have infinite free will. If we want more free will, we need to develop our consciousness. The more we are Krishna consciousness, co-Krishna conscious, more free will we have. So it is applicable in two levels. Even according to material piety, also free will varies. Say for example, classic example, if somebody is in Patal Loka, if somebody is in Naraka, or somebody is in a lower planet, many of the activities will not be very productive spiritually, right? It's very obvious because that is the choice one has. Say for example, in Kali Yuga, living in Kali Yuga is similar to living in a hellish situation. We don't have to go anywhere. We can go and we can see. I'll give you an example. Say suppose if you are living in Australia, to do certain activity, say for example drinking, smoking or illicit activities, it is part of the life. You don't need a particular permit to do that because it is accepted as part of the culture. So now think of India, maybe many years back, probably now, or a small village in India which is still pious. To engage in those activities can be a bit of a problem, right? So one's choice is restricted in one place, right, to do sinful activities, but other place it is accepted, right? Say certain places, you know, man and woman, if they don't have a proper legal relation, they cannot live together. It is considered a problem. Even legally, it is a problem. Right, but here, it's not a problem. So, depending on one consciousness, where we can see there are different rules applied. There are different choices. Similarly, if you go from lower planetary system to higher planetary system, one's consciousness is different, and according to that, one has different degree of free will that one can exercise. So Lord Brahma has free will, and a person in a lower planetary system also has free will, but the range is different. So if one is completely materially conditioned, what's the free will? There is not much of a free will. Work hard, what work to do, or what kind of sinful activity to perform. Right, that's the kind of free will. There is not much free will. But when one has bit more knowledge, if one comes to Krishna consciousness, one comes to at least come to the piety, one can distinguish between what is right and wrong. That is a quality of the mode of goodness. So the choices in the mode of ignorance, choices in the mode of passion, and in the choices in the mode of goodness and choices in Krishna consciousness are different. Everywhere there is free will, but how much one can exercise free will is different. In ignorance, it will be about intoxication or self-destructive activities, harming others or oneself. Second, in the mode of passion, it will be about passionate activities, how to make more money, hard work, this way or that way, that's all. And also, the second form of passionate activities, indulgence between the opposite sex. So this is the mode of passion. Then in goodness, more activities which are philanthropic or good for oneself and others. And in Krishna consciousness, the choices are for helping spiritually oneself and others. So the free will varies according to the material modes and beyond. So we can decide how much free will we want. We have that free will according to development of our consciousness, even materially, and then what to speak about developing our spiritual consciousness. So here we can see Daksha was, if he was already in the mode of passion, right, his activity, his sacrificial activity was not simply to please the Supreme Lord for unalloyed pure devotional service. The whole activity was a pious activity to get more power, more strength, and to increase his material opulence and strength and enjoyment. So that was the whole thing, was in the mode of passion. Then it was degraded to the mode of ignorance. So the actual sacrifice must be, the consciousness must be at least goodness. Okay, he was in some amount of goodness was there. But that is because that's, otherwise one cannot perform sacrifice. But the motivation was in the mode of passion. Then it was degraded to ignorance by blaspheming devotees. And the whole scene became tamasic because there were curses and counter curses. And then you could see that Daksha became heartless in a way that even his own daughter committed suicide in front of him. Still, he was not moved a bit. So this is completely tamasic. So there is no even the mode of passion. It was completely tamasic. So the choice Daksha had was so limited. He couldn't do anything practically because his consciousness was influenced by the mode of passion. So he committed the great devotees. And since the Lord is beyond this, he can see everything. And a devotee, we cultivate our Krishna consciousness. And as we cultivate our Krishna consciousness, we come to a point, we choose what is more beneficial for ourselves and others. So if one is, as one progresses in Krishna consciousness, one tend to think what is pleasing Krishna the most. I have limited time, I have limited resources. That is life. So in this given time with the limited resources, in which way I can please Krishna the most? So that is the best use of our free will. Because there can be 100 things that we can do. But what is most beneficial in this given circumstance to please the Lord? So this is the meditation of devotees. Srila Prabhupada mentioned one time that how devotees are peaceful. Why and how devotees are peaceful? You know, as it is mentioned, you know, there is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everyone is ashanta. Everyone is not peaceful. But a devotee is always peaceful. He said, a devotee is always peaceful and devotee's mind is under control because the devotee is thinking how he or she can preach Krishna consciousness, how he or she can help others. In that way, devotee is absorbed in that thought, and because of that absorption, mind is controlled, senses are controlled, and mind is peaceful. Because without peace, ashantasya kuto sukham, there is no question of sukha, there is no question of happiness without peace. Right? There is no question of happiness without peace. People say peace is the highest thing, but peace is not the highest thing. Bhagavad Gita asks, without peace, there is no happiness. Happiness is after peace. So peace is the precursor to happiness. And for that, first one has to control the senses, mind. Then there is peace and then there is happiness. even talking from a perspective of material piety, what to speak of transcendental happiness. Now here Brahma makes a very important point that you cannot be happy in executing a sacrifice if you blaspheme a great personality and thereby offend his lotus feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes a very interesting point. He says, if someone offends my devotees, it is like somebody is taking a nail and poking on my body. So the Lord says, how can I feel any happiness or satisfaction if somebody is, you know, nailing on my body? Or this is how when somebody is offending devotees of the Lord. So here Lord Brahma is feeling the same, because one is actually committing offense at the lotus feet of the devotees. And Daksha did that and it got escalated and it finally led to even a murder. So then we can see that Daksha had to give up his own body, because Daksha got the body of a god. Daksha was the most beautiful person. Can you imagine? When he entered the assembly, everyone got up. He was as brilliant as a sun. Except Brahma in the first sacrifice. Except Brahma, everyone actually got up. And then, now after having such a beautiful body and opulence, now he is getting the body of a god. Think about that. How beautiful is that? So he couldn't actually maintain his body. He had to commit suicide. Daksha actually committed suicide. He gave up his body. Out of humiliation, he felt very ashamed and he gave up his body. Then he had to wait for a few manyantaras. I think 4 manyantaras. So this happened in the time of Svayambhu Manu. Then at the time of Chakshusha Manu, he again got birth. So then he got birth as Daksha. Again he became a Daksha. He was a Prajapati again. But he realized that he didn't have the same power that he had in the first manvantara as a son of Swayambhu, son of Brahma. So in the, you know, in the time of Swayambhu manvantara. So at that time he went to perform austerities. So he performed austerities for a very long time, and then again Lord Vishnu appeared and he got the power. Again, his sacrifice was not for pure devotion service, again for material opulence. Then what happened? He happened to again curse Narada Muni. So here he was blaspheming Lord Shiva, who is a Mahajan. Then Narada Muni, another Mahajan, he blasphemed Narada Muni also. So even after many manyantaras, he didn't get reformed. Think about that. How the offensive mentality is. He had to offend Narada Muni. And of course, Narada Muni took it as a blessing. And he didn't get agitated because he's a great devotee. The curse was that you cannot stay at one place. You had to travel. Narada Muni took it as very good. I can travel and preach. So he took it as a blessing and he traveled the world. Except he could stay in Vrindavan. Narada Muni, he could stay in Vrindavan as much as long as he wanted. Why? Because the curse doesn't get affected in Dham. Curse has nothing to do with Dham. If one is in Dham, curse has no impact. So Narada Muni could stay in Vrindavan as long as he wanted. So this is the power of the offenses. It continues and the mentality continues. Unless one actually work on one's own mentality, it continues. Here another very important point in the purport is that it's very practical. Now if you see, many countries are going against capital punishments. So there are many reasons for that. So we cannot say capital punishments are good or bad in the current context. Why? Because actually capital punishment is good according to Manu's law. Why? Because it is ordained by a pious, just king. So the whole justice system is fair. So in that context, if somebody does a murder or a very heinous activity, then it is good to go through the capital punishment, that he or she will get punishment and then he doesn't have to go through the same reaction again, and also he doesn't have to commit the same mistakes again and again. So it's a protection for the society And it's a protection for him that punishment is given so he doesn't dare to be punished again. So in a just fair society, when the Manu's laws are upheld, it's the right thing to do. But we cannot say exactly what's happened in the current law system. We cannot say back and forth. We cannot really argue for back and forth. There is no clear answer to it. Why? Because many times the justice system in itself is corrupt. So how can we say that the right person is actually getting the capital punishment? The problem starts from that point. And which cases or in which scenarios you can award capital punishment, we don't know exactly. For that we had to refer to Manu's laws. So we cannot really argue for or argue against for capital punishment in the current society. We don't know. But in a case when the laws are properly applied and it is given by the proper authorities, yes, it is the valid system. It is helpful for the society and it is helpful for the individual. So that is the main theme of this purport. And I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, ma'am.
Can you speak a little bit more about the
Trikalajna. Trikalajna. Oh, that's a...
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma, yeah, sure. Trikalajna means one who knows past, present and future. So there are many personalities, great personalities, who can know past, present and future. Now, okay, of course, the Lord, He knows present, past, present and future. So how it applies to great devotees? So for Brahma and for Lord Shiva, they know the future because they are already in touch with the super soul. Specifically, there is a mention in this coming verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, the same canto. Lord Shiva, he is in touch with the super soul, so because he's already is beyond the moon. Same with Lord Brahma. So they are not affected by Maya, so they can know the future. Now, for devotees, why do they need to know the future? For the Lord, He knows the future, in one sense. In one sense, He may not know also. If He has to perform pastime, if He needs the excitement of pastime in Vrindavan, then Yogamaya covers, so that Krishna can have excitement. If Krishna is already thinking that, okay, I know this pastime is going to happen. So, these people, they know the rain is going to come, I know I'm going to lift the Govardhan hill, I know what's going to happen, I know what this devotee is going to feel. If Krishna knows, if everything is coming to his mind, then there is no excitement. If Krishna is having a wrestling match and Krishna already knows, Krishna, as such, yes, Krishna knows everything, but if Yogamaya doesn't cover, Krishna already knows, okay, I'm going to get defeated. Then where is the fighting spirit? So Yogamaya is there, Yogamaya covers that. So Yogamaya covers that. But in other sense, yes, in the form of super soul, in the form of Vishnu, he knows everything. So for Brahma knows because he's in touch with the super soul, Shiva knows because he's in touch with the super soul. Now, the question is, how much a great devotee knows about past, present or future? So that is dependent on their service. The Lord reveals to a devotee past, present or future depending on their service. If that is required for the service, then the Lord awards. Say for example, often this question is asked about the Guru. The Guru knows everything about the disciple. Guru knows what instruction to give to the disciple. So we understand Guru knows, he has to know everything. So how it works? So Krishna makes Guru know whatever he needs to know to give the right instruction. Understand? In that way, even Guru is in touch with the super soul. So that's why the Guru is known as an expansion of the Chaitya Guru. The external Guru is considered as an expansion of the Chaitya Guru. Means Chaitya Guru is the super soul within the heart. Because the Guru is in touch with the super soul and Krishna, of course. So they reveal what is required for a devotee. To guide, to help. Is that right?
Thank you.
Any question? Anyone? Okay.
Yeah. What happens to the
Yes, nothing is mentioned. Nothing is mentioned here, so we don't know. Generally, living entity goes from one body to the next. So it's not mentioned here, but generally, as in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, it's mentioned the example of a worm, or which I can't remember exactly what kind of bug it is, which is long like this, it goes like this, one to the next. Have you seen that? I saw very recently, moving like this. Can you see that? You know, just goes like this. Yeah, exactly. So this is the example given to explain the transmigration of a living entity from one body to the next. So it is mentioned when the next body is ready, when it fixes the next, when one is other body is ready, then he actually leaves this body. So in that way, the living entity moves from one body to the next. So generally, yes, when the next body is ready, then he leaves the current body. And in between time, not in this case, generally, if there is a body less that time, one is ghost existence. There is one existence, ghost existence. Second is hellish punishments. These are the two cases where, of course, subtle body is there, but there is no body which has been awarded specifically for a function. So these are the two cases other than the bodiless state, we can say. These are the two cases. Yes, Prabhu.
If a person knows that something bad is going to happen,
yeah,
it is his responsibility, so to speak, to make it, like Prabhupada gave an example, if you know a child is trying to put his finger in the pan, we unplug the pan and say, okay, go ahead and do it. So, in this case, if not Brahma, not we should use, what's going to happen? They should have practiced something to prevent.
Yeah, in this case, Brahma knew what's going to happen. Two things are there. One is, it's a pastime. That's why it is in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a learning. Second, they knew how to resolve the problem also. So after this, Lord Brahma satisfies Lord Shiva and everyone is given proper punishments. Right? Everyone is given proper punishments. And pacify the situation, and the world functions goes on as normal. And Sati, because of her attachment for Lord Shiva, she quits her body thinking about Lord Shiva, and she gets the body as Parvati, and again worship Lord Shiva and becomes Lord Shiva's wife consort. So yes, they know how to resolve the problem also.
So the overall scenario,
There are different lessons one can learn from pastimes. It can be viewed in different ways. For example, Srishti is a Leela. The whole Srishti is a Leela. From the Krishna, this is called Srishti Leela. It means a pastime. And we are suffering and we are saying it's a pastime. Yes, from a Lord's point of view, it has an aspect of pastime. It's Lord's Leela. So, the things can be looked from different perspectives. And we get different learnings when we look at the pastime in different perspective. So, when we understand the pastime of Sati, we understand how we shouldn't commit offense to devotees. And we can see all the consequences, everything. And of course, the Lord and Brahma is allowing that to happen. Then we can even question Lord Vishnu also. Why Lord Vishnu is allowing to happen all this nonsense in this world? Yes? Yes or no? Yes, we can ask why people are killing each other. Why Krishna is allowing all this thing to happen? Why he's not interfering, stopping everything? Because Krishna, the Lord, doesn't want to interfere in the free will. He knows, but he doesn't. So here we can see in case of Lord Brahma also, he's allowing it to happen. And he's able to resolve. But he's allowing it to happen. Giving a lesson. He doesn't want to interfere. We have to understand. Sometimes, devotees tell many things, don't do it. or they must have given previous morning, because Daksha has gone through whole education. Daksha is not a fool. Daksha is son of Lord Brahma. You know the speciality of Brahma? Brahma is known as Veda Garbha. Veda Garbha means one who is imbibed the whole Vedas. He's all four hands. He has Vedas. He, wherever he goes, even the personified Vedas goes with Lord Brahma. So Daksha is completely educated in Vedic knowledge. So his education training is already given. So now, if he acts, he is given that free will to act, because he is in a very high position. So Brahma doesn't want to interfere. We can see he doesn't want to interfere. So Vishnu doesn't want to interfere. He wants to see how he is going to act. And he knows that he is going to misbehave. And what's the punishment? Okay, the punishment is giving. He got a goat head. That's the punishment. So we can see pastimes in different levels. We cannot take casually also. At the same time, we see this is the, everything is a leela, because it is in the page of Srimad Bhagavatam.
So in the grand, very grand scale, we know that all the entities eventually go back to God. It's only a matter of time, after one birth or millions of births.
It's a choice. It's a free will of the living entities. No one is guaranteeing. Krishna cannot guarantee, because it is up to you, it is up to me. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked this question: if everyone takes up Krishna consciousness, and everyone, this is not going back to Godhead, okay, it is, if everyone takes up Krishna consciousness, who will run the society? Everyone is doing puja, everyone wants to chant, who is going to run the society? You know what was the answer of Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada said, there will always be a lot of fools to push on this material world. You understand? We cannot guarantee, it is a free will. Okay. Yes, Madhuri. Yeah, she's not an ordinary living entity. She is Durga. Sati is Durga.
She, of course, they are acting.
If you consider Sadi, that's another example. She knows what's going to happen. She, in a given circumstance, she may not remember. She is acting on one level according to a proper womanly nature. I want to see the marriage. You know, she says there are different levels they are acting. On one level, I just want to go to my dad's place. I want to partake in this marriage ceremony, and in the yagya, and all the relatives are coming. I want to have a good time. So that is her basic womanly nature. But of course, she has a nature which is much super beyond that. She has the capacity to kill hundreds of dakshas by her desire. She doesn't have to do anything. By her desire, she can kill hundreds of dakshas. But she didn't do that. So at the inner level is, she wanted to correct daksha. She wanted to correct daksha, and she wanted to appease Lord Shiva. She wanted to see what's going to happen. And she wanted to see herself what's going to happen. And she wanted the whole problem to be resolved, and she wanted to go and check it out. So that's another level. And next level, she, even though she had the capacity to kill everyone, she didn't want to do that. One reason, since she is functioning as the daughter of Daksha, it is inappropriate for her to punish and kill her father. You know, see how in different capacity now they are functioning. And if she kills, another reason is, people may think that, or Shiva may be further criticized, that Shiva didn't have the capacity to kill Daksha, so Lord Shiva sent Sati to kill Daksha. So she didn't want criticism for her husband. So she thought, and then third, next level, she thought, I am a woman. She considered, I am a woman. And as a woman, I am very low class. I am a Shudra. She was thinking like that. She is not. She is on the highest level. But out of humility, she thought like that. So for a Shudra, if someone hears blasphemy, then one is allowed to commit suicide. So I will commit suicide. So you see, there are different levels, she thought. You know, this is a very... multiple levels of reasons are there in this. And then she committed suicide. She knew, of course, she knew what's going to happen. She knew, she thought about her husband. She got the next body. Again, her mind was focused on Lord Shiva. Continued. And now we worship her as Parvati. So she is worshipped more as Parvati than Sati. Why? That's why the question is asked in the previous chapters. Why Sati doesn't have any children? Sati doesn't have any children. Because she, you know, she took her life away in prematurely. So in, as Parvati, then she unites with Lord Shiva, and then we see the children of Lord Shiva and Parvati. So, not ordinary, not to be imitated, not to be seen as very low, rather we had to get the lessons. So that's the whole point mentioned. And the essential point, not to offend the devotees, as simple as that. Okay, I think we need to stop, discuss later. Thank you very much. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की शिल प्रभुपाद की।